You ready to do this?
Let's do it. Let's do it, baby. So what are we talking about today, Stevie Ray?
I'm Steve McDowell.
I'm Matt Kimball.
We are from More Insights and Strategy. We do this weekly, sometime more, sometime less often, podcast on all things data center.
So what you're saying is we're not consistent in our frequency of podcasts.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
We have a special episode this week. So the last month or so, right, we went to a lot of conferences and we did a lot of wrap-ups at the conference. This week, I was invited out to IBM, and they are conveniently located near me. I'm not going to say where that is because I have stalkers. But I went out and I met with Eric Herzog, who is the Chief Marketing Officer and Vice President of Storage Channels. So Eric is the guy. And if you go on social media and look at anything IBM storage related, he is there everywhere. So Eric and I had a wide-ranging conversation. IBM storage, you watch all the storage companies as I do, and they do announcements once, maybe twice a year, right? You do a speed bump and a big announcement during conference season. IBM doesn't do that. IBM hits a major announcement, seems like every single quarter. They're refreshing their flash system. They're refreshing their software. One of the things I like about IBM that differentiates them from, say, a NetApp is, the breadth and depth of their software solutions. It's not just about storage arrays, right? It's, they have their Spectrum software suite that kind of covers everything from file systems to data protection. And then on the hardware side, they out-innovate just about every one of their competitors. They are the only storage provider out there that has NVMe top to bottom, with NVMe over Fabric through most of that, right? They're servicing everything from PCs to mainframes, and they're the leader in tape storage, believe it or not, worldwide.
Still a big business.
It's a big business.
Yeah.
One of the things when we look at the storage industry, and I don't know that there's a parallel on the server side, IDC counts hardware sales, in which IBM's consistently around number five, right? Their numbers bump up a little bit during mainframe refresh. But IBM's overall storage business is a nice balance of both the hardware arrays and the Spectrum software suite, and they don't break that out separately. So IDC did a thing, it was actually 2 years ago, where they did a report where they married the hardware and software sales, and they ranked IBM number one in storage. Now, that was just about the time that Dell EMC was ramping, so I don't know where they would land today. But if you look at them holistically, they got a major footprint in the storage market. But rather than me tell you all about this, I'm going to jump over to the IBM conference room and talk directly to Eric. And
let him talk.
So I'm here with Eric Herzog, who is the Chief Marketing Officer and VP of Storage Channels at IBM. Thanks for doing this, Eric. Welcome to the Data Center Podcast. We're going to talk about storage today. The storage world is in an interesting period of transition, right? A decade ago, it was all about storage arrays and block storage and file. Today, it's moving more toward a solution-oriented, software-defined world. I look at IBM's portfolio, and one of the things I like and excites me about IBM is, you have some really kick-ass hardware, right? I think you have the broadest portfolio of NVMe across the industry. But it's not just about the storage arrays, right? You have a number of solutions. You have a Spectrum suite that helps drive kind of the software-defined data center. So when you think about IBM storage, right, how do you think about yourself?
Well, the first thing is we take it up a level. So while storage systems and storage software are critical, for anyone who doesn't believe it, all storage in the world, all data in the world, sits on storage, whether it be in the cloud, whether it be a hybrid cloud, public cloud, in a traditional data center or virtualized data center, all data on this planet sits on storage. So it's a critical infrastructure. But at the same time, I've never, in 35 years of doing storage, ever met a CIO who was a storage person, ever. So we view things that are very application, workload, and use case centric. And then storage fits in underneath that. So we see four big trends. First is hybrid multi-cloud storage, where storage can seamlessly move data back and forth to a hybrid cloud, can be used by a public cloud provider for a solution they want, For example, our Spectrum Protect modern data protection backup software is offered by over 400 small and medium cloud providers across the world for their backup as a service, which basically is a public cloud offering to backup customers' data from an end user perspective. So moving that data back and forth. So one is hybrid multi-cloud and supporting all kinds of different public cloud providers, right? Whether it be the top three or four, whether it be these mid-tier and smaller ones like I just mentioned.
And IBM's own cloud.
And IBM's own cloud, absolutely. But we support things in Amazon. We make sure that we work with Google. We work with Azure. And like I said, we'll sell to all kinds of other cloud providers for the use. Second is storage for AI and big data. So AI is a new emerging workload. Big data analytics, I'd argue, is a couple years old. People have basically looked at what was going on in the academia and the HPC space and realized, well, that can offer real advantage. So how can I do analytics on all of the credit card fraud detection for every transaction across the planet, as just one example? So, and then of course, AI has become the hot button. Everyone is talking about it. But again, if your storage is not performant, your storage is not resilient, it's not available and not reliable, then your AI workloads won't work and your big data analytic workloads won't work.
So and your Spectrum Scale file system is ideally tuned for AI and analytics.
It is. Right? It is. And we have a number of public references that talk about both big data and AI applications and workloads where they use Spectrum Scale. In fact, the two fastest supercomputers in the world, which we announced last year jointly with IBM Power on the server side, both of the clients very specifically talked about using Spectrum Scale, which have close to 500 petabytes of storage using IBM Spectrum Scale, that they are using that for AI workloads as well as analytic workloads. So, you know, these are two of the fastest supercomputers in the world. So we also see a big move in cyber resiliency and cybersecurity. Everyone's going to get broken into. I'm sure you guys have some numbers of what you predict is going to be how many enterprises are going to get broken into in the next 2 to 5 years as a percentage. And we see that across the board. So when you're looking at a cyber resiliency strategy, if everyone is going to get broken into, so you've got the fence and the security system to keep them out, and then once they get in, you got to track them down. And I've had several CIOs tell me that in a big, giant global enterprise, it could take them a day to track them down. It could take them a week. So if you don't view storage as part of your cyber resiliency strategy, they're stealing you blind while they're inside of your building before you found them and, you know, put them in the handcuffs.
And you know what's interesting? I was at your conference, IBM Think, I think in February, right? And one of my favorite parts of these conferences is getting to talk to the customers and the end users. And we do these, you sponsored some customer breakfasts, right? And I met with a couple of your customers. And everyone at the table talked about, and they said, I cannot go on the record with this, and I will never say this publicly, right? But we get hit with ransomware, with all of these things on a near monthly basis, right? And having that data nearline in a cloud, not on tape, right, is a lifesaver for us. So we're not going to talk about it, but it is so important to us, which I think is why the data protection market is on fire right now, and I think it's a great area of focus for you.
Well, we see cyber resiliency as multifaceted. We see things like encryption. For example, we will encryption primary storage. We encryption secondary storage, so think backup and archive data sets. We do air gapping to tape. We do air gapping to cloud. Mm-hmm. We encrypt anything that we send over the net, however we do it, you know, when you go off your site. And we've even got the capability of creating with our safeguard copy on the mainframe side, the capability with our DS family of actually creating air gapping on an actual array that they can't break. So when you look at all of that, whether it be backup, whether it be primary storage, whether it be what you're doing when you're tiering to the cloud, whether it be ransomware and malware detection, for example, Spectrum Protect will warn you. And as you probably are very well aware, ransomware and malware protect your secondary data sets first. Mm-hmm. Because how can they rob you if they know you can go back to a backup copy, a snap or a replica, and restore? So they attack that first. So guess what? Spectrum Protect, when it notices anomalous activity in a backup data set, will report that. And of course, if you air gap to a cloud with an object storage interface, as you know, object storage so far has not been attacked by ransomware and malware. So you can recover to a known good copy, and obviously you can air gap to tape. So a broad set of solutions around cyber resiliency. And then the last one we see is modern data protection. So don't think your grandfather's backup, The way modern data protection works is, yes, you're still backing up the data sets, but what you're doing is taking that secondary data set and using it for things like test and dev, DevOps, for all kinds of different functions. So instead of that snap, replica, or backup copy just sitting there, you're actually reusing it in a way. So we've got APIs with our copy data management software that allows you to seamlessly spin up and spin down and use that backup copy to actually do work in a dev perspective. And in the old world, you didn't do that with, quote, backup. But in today's modern data protection, you do, as well, of course, making sure you can help with ransomware and malware, right, that you're doing things like tiering out to object storage that you don't have ransomware and malware capabilities. There's a lot of different things that involves modern data protection. So in short, it's hybrid multi-cloud applications, workloads, and use cases, storage for AI and big data workloads, the cyber resiliency issue, which is more than just getting security software, which everyone automatically does.
Sure.
And then lastly, modern data protection.
So modern data protection. So IBM, if I have this right, you're the world leader in tape backup solutions right now.
We are the number one provider of tape backup solutions.
Are those going away?
Absolutely not.
Or is there a place for
both? So we've actually seen a big resurgence in tape for two reasons. A, it is still by far the cheapest media. So as more and more data goes out to the cloud, whether it be a public cloud provider or a giant global enterprise trying to save money creating their private cloud, or whether it be things like air gapping, all those things, the cyber resiliency aspect of it, the cost in a cloud environment, and I don't mean just public cloud, but public, private, or even hybrid cloud, means that large global entities are gravitating to tape to save money. And that's what we're seeing, why tape is having such a resurgence between the security aspect and, quite honestly, the cloud aspect.
Okay. So when I think about data protection now, it's tiered in a way that it wasn't before, right? I have my cloud and my tape.
Well, we would see tiering as very ubiquitous. We can tier data to clouds. So just think of a cloud as what used to be a hard drive target.
Right.
We can tier to hard drives from flash. We can tier from our flash core modules, which are exceedingly fast, to not as fast, but still faster than hard drive SSDs. We can tier out to object storage, whether it be IBM Cloud Object Storage or anything that supports the S3 protocol, such as Amazon. But as you know, a number of other cloud providers also support the generic S3 interface. So from our perspective, tiering is all about a way to place your data, not necessarily about moving data from a fast hard drive to a slow hard drive, which was the original concept, of course.
Sure. So it sounds like your focus areas align very nicely with where we see modern IT heading. And in some cases, you kind of got ahead of the IT trend, certainly around cloud and AI and analytics. You know, I think IBM as a whole, right, was on the AI machine learning train long before it became trendy, right, in the enterprise. So you started off supporting IBM Cloud. Now you're supporting more public cloud solutions as well, right? Where do you see kind of the traction among your customer base?
Oh, so we see it across the board. We have clients who are very focused on IBM Cloud. Of course, we love that. We're all IBM shareholders. Yeah. At the same time, we're realistic. And in fact, a couple analyst firms, I'd love to hear what you guys have seen, Steve, but a number of other analyst firms have told us that the average enterprise account will use between 5 to 7 different public cloud providers, whether that be for legal reasons, whether they purely just to negotiate pricing, just the way they have multiple server and storage vendors, by the way, or whether that be for security reasons or regulatory reasons. For example, in Canada, you can put data out in the cloud, but the data cannot physically go beyond the confines of Canada, which means that the cloud data center used must be physically located on Canadian soil. And they're not the only country that has it. So all of these things mean that we've seen cloud everywhere, cloud being ubiquitous. And so for us, it's supporting all the public cloud providers. Spectrum Protect is a perfect example of that. Again, 400 small and medium cloud providers. We sell tons of our VersaStack converged infrastructure, which is the ideal way to tier out to clouds using our all-flash arrays, particularly our flash system. But it's a fully converged infrastructure for a small to medium cloud provider to wheel that in on a dolly, hook up a couple cables, and be up in a couple hours. That's easier than buying servers, storage, and networking all separate, which is what a big cloud provider can easily afford to do with their manpower. But so we see cloud providers as both a target for us to sell to. We see them as literally a target where we move data out to, whether it's our storage they use or create their own or whatever they're doing. So cloud is here to stay. And for us, it's been something that we've been able to take real advantage of.
That's yeah. And on the AI analytics front, again, I think this is an area where you were kind of ahead of the curve. About 6 months ago, you released Spectrum Scale for AI. Do I have the name right?
Well, what we did is IBM Spectrum Storage for AI.
Spectrum Storage for AI.
And incorporates a number of different elements. So first of all, Spectrum Scale, the old GPFS, highly parallel, high-performance file system that allows you to do AI or analytic or big data workloads very, very, very effectively and can scale. We have over 5 customers in production with an exabyte. Okay, not petabytes, but exabytes. Second thing is IBM Cloud Object Storage.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to tier either out to a cloud config, or IBM Cloud Object Storage can also be on on-prem software or on-premise array solution. And it provides a giant object-based repository so you can have, again, also exabytes of data. And there are a number of customers with exabytes with IBM Cloud Object Storage as well. And we can automatically tier from scale either into the object store, both on-prem, or into an object store off-prem. Third element is Spectrum Discover. So Spectrum Discover can look at file and object data, so unstructured data, and create giant metadata catalogs. It has an API, so the analytics or AI software can use these catalogs. Mm-hmm. We can create templates out of these catalogs. You can do custom metadata. So let's say for sake of argument, I've got half an exabyte of storage, and that's between file and object. And I am going to run different analytic workloads. Right now, the data scientist and the storage guy are constantly prepping. If I have 3 different analytic workloads, one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Friday, that are different workloads with different analytic software, I can have that analytic software write to the API. I can create the template, and every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they just execute against that template. So it automates to take the reduces the burden on the data scientist and the storage guy to prep the data sets. By the way, if it changes, they create a new template.
Sure.
Or if they add a fourth workload, they can, again, create a new template. So it allows you to create these giant metadata catalogs. And right now, we support IBM Cloud Object Storage and IBM Spectrum Scale. We have publicly announced that later this year, we will be supporting third-party technology, third-party unstructured data sets. So that's something we said is coming in the second half of the year, and it will be coming in the second half of the year.
That's exciting. So are you, how's the traction? Are we seeing enterprise shops starting to deploy these AI solutions, or are they still more in the experimentation phase?
No, we're seeing real deployment. When we announced Spectrum Storage for AI, and by the way, we have 4 different reference architectures for AI workloads and applications. One, which is purely software-defined storage only. We don't sell any infrastructure.
Right.
One, which is that software with our arrays, but also with IBM Power.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is similar to the IBM Power, except it's with our partner NVIDIA and the NVIDIA server infrastructure. And we actually have one that is very focused on autonomous driving, whether that be a big giant car company or the software companies that are getting into the space. So 4 of them are published now and are all available to be used. So we've really seen the need for this. We've got a number of customers doing it. We did both our announcement with Power and the announcement with NVIDIA. So one was in June with Power, then one was December with NVIDIA. We actually had a couple public references in each talking about how they use us for AI. So what we've seen is AI and big data both started really on the academic side. And as it's become something in the enterprise are basically, and for us it's great because we've been a leader in HPC storage for years, as well as HPC compute. What it does is allow us to transfer that data over. And a lot of the concepts that were used in HPC are being put into enterprise by enterprise accounts all over for both big data workloads, analytic workloads, and AI workloads. And we're ideally positioned because of what we've been doing for years in the academic side already with HPC.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of crossover on the technology front, right, between HPC and deep learning, machine learning, the whole kind of AI spectrum. I'm going to switch gears. You know, at heart, I'm a hardware geek, right? I love, you know, solutions are great, and that, you know, that's what we need to deliver our common customers. But I really like a fast storage array. NVMe promises to change the game, right? It's still, you know, every storage vendor has announced, well, every storage vendor has an NVMe array, right? Not across the line, certainly not like IBM does. I think if you look at IBM storage portfolio, you have NVMe kind of top to bottom. You were an early leader with NVMe over Fabric. You're not using off-the-shelf SSDs. You're doing your own kind of FlashCore modules, right?
Right.
Where do you see NVMe? How does that fit into how you think about storage and what's your differentiation there?
So we see NVMe as just a checkbox item these days. Okay. We don't think every other vendor sees it that way, but we do. So SCSI, then ultra SCSI, then ultra wide SCSI, then ultra fast wide SCSI. Mm-hmm. These are all things that happened, and then serial attached SCSI. Now NVMe is the new protocol of choice for high performance compute connections to storage.
Yeah.
So we see that as A, both incorporated inside of an array technology between the CPU of the array controller and to the actual storage that's in the storage array. We also see it across the fabric. So we see it as just the next checkbox item. And it used to be SCSI, then all the various versions of SCSI, then SAS, serial attached SCSI, the most recent version. And now that's shifting to NVMe. So we see it as something that you have to do. We got on the bandwagon early. We had, for example, an InfiniBand demonstration of NVMe over InfiniBand in December of 2017. We went GA with that solution in February of 2018. Then in summer of 2018, we announced our first NVMe inside of the array, which was with our Flash System 9100 family. Then in October, we bolstered that with our NVMe StoreWise V7000 Gen 3 and NVMe over Fiber Channel Fabrics. So we offered that. It's a non-disruptive upgrade. It's a software upgrade. And we support, because of what we've done with RDMA on the connection from our array to the hosts,
yeah,
we actually have older arrays that don't use our FlashCore modules that at least can do NVMe over Fiber Channel.
Okay. Are you selling the NVMe over Fiber Channel?
Well, we don't sell the associated HBAs.
Let me ask the question a little differently. Are people buying it?
We are starting
seeing it deployed?
Yeah, we are starting to see people deploy it, particularly in POCs. Okay. On the array side, we're selling tons of Flash System 9100s, become wildly successful. The StoreWise V7000 Gen 3, and then we're just getting ready to go GA with our StoreWise 5100, which takes the price point down even lower. So we believe that NVMe inside of all the arrays, you know, and is going to continue to spread with our solutions. Yeah. And NVMe over fabric. And, you know, from that perspective, we've got a broad portfolio, multiple fabrics, and we've already announced publicly that later this year we'll be supporting NVMe Ethernet. So we'll have the three primary fabrics with NVMe. Obviously, you've got to have the host operating system,
sure,
Windows, whatever version of Linux they're using. If they've got an old Unix machine, you know, with dual pass device drivers, obviously the HBA needs to support it, and of course across the switching infrastructure.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, we can do it today. And if a customer buys a StoreWise 5100 today or a Flash System 9100 today, and they don't deploy it on the fabric side, but do use it, of course, because it's default inside of the array itself, then when they go to that, it's a non-disruptive software upgrade. It's free, so they can move to it later. And then, of course, they all have to get the HBAs, right? They'll have to make sure, sure, the operating systems are supported. But it makes it easy for us to do it. And like I said, our first demo was back in 2017. Yeah. Our first shipping product was February 2018 on the InfiniBand side, then spreading to Fiber Channel with NVMe as a fabric configuration in October of 2018. So we've been way ahead in one, embedding it inside of the storage array itself, and two, making sure that we have that over fabric infrastructure.
So you're good, because you answered the question I was about to ask, which was around NVMe over Ethernet or TCP, right? You know, NVMe over Fiber Channel, that helps the legacy guys, right? But I think the real game changer long term is to run this over my my top of rack network and share the traffic. That's going to be the game changer. So tell me about FlashCore modules. So I look at your products, and you know, your competitors are largely using off-the-shelf form factor for flash, right? You don't. Why?
So a couple reasons. First of all, we can constantly ride the power curve as flash changes. So from all of the various types of flash that you can get, right, moving to QLC, moving to all the latest technology, we can take advantage of that. TLC in the past, we can always ride that power curve. Second thing it allows us to do is do a lot of customization that our competitors tend not to do. For example, our FlashCore modules had a 7-year media warranty 7 years ago when no one else had one. Now, some other people have added that on their SSDs, but they did it like a year or two ago, and we've been having it for years. Consistent performance, not only the best, so we can do as low as 100 mics of latency, and don't be surprised if in the second half of the year we go down to 85 mics. You can't do that with any SSDs from any vendor. And you're looking at, you know, public stuff that's out there today at 300 to 400 mics. And in a transactional workload, the biggest enemy of your app transactional application and workload, while IOPS is helpful, the number one thing is latency. The number one thing. And then with all that performance, whether it be IOPS or latency, for example, our flash system 9100 in a 4-cluster config can do 15 million IOPS and only 8 rack U.
Wow.
No one is even close. The second best performance is 10 million IOPS, and it requires a full rack. So we beat them on not only the actual performance, but on the rack, on the stack, on the plower, on the floor, and on the cooling, because they're doing that for a full rack, and we're doing it for only 8 rack U. So that gives a big advantage. And again, same thing on the latency. So whether it be IOPS latency or the combination, we can deliver that. So you've got the resiliency, you've got the performance, and that performance, by the way, is also consistent. When a competitor using SSDs quotes a specific latency or IOPS, the end users say, and what's that latency or IOPS when the array is 90% full? And since most companies are honest, I believe most people are honest, they'll tell you, well, it's not as fast as what it says in the data sheet, because it's not. With our flash core modules, we can have consistent performance. And then lastly, we can embed advanced technology into the actual module itself. For example, anything with a flash core module has compression and data at rest encryption with no performance impact on the encrypt or the decrypt or the compress or the decompress. So in short, when compression and encryption tend to have a performance penalty from our competition, for us, we've embedded it right into our flash core module. So we can ride the wave of development. We can get incredible durability and reliability from our flash core modules. We get incredible performance that's unmatched. We also get consistent performance, which is a key question people need to ask of our competition. And we can embed advanced technology like compression and encryption. Of course, we're looking at other things in the future right into flash core module without having a performance penalty. So those are real differentiators of flash core. By the way, I have a number of our arrays that also will support SSDs if they would prefer an SSD. So it's not like we don't sell them.
Right.
Our flash system 9100, our StoreWise V7000 Gen 3 are two examples where we publicly announced those products as NVMe, but said, if you want to use an SSD instead of our flash core modules, we'll be happy to sell those to you. Now, we sell very little that way, by the way.
Yeah.
But we do support it, and it's fully compatible. And they said, we want a Toshiba or Samsung or Intel SSD with a standard SSD with NVMe protocol. We can support that, too.
And you see that differentiation of the flash core modules existing for a while?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We already have today shipping for revenue, a better performance characteristic than anyone, and we also have the best capacity of anyone. Now, it doesn't mean the SSD guys aren't sampling better capacity, but as you know, we've got things happening in the second half of the year. We're only in May right now, so in the second half of the year, who knows what capacities we'll be going to with our flash core modules.
All right, so you have a broad spectrum of arrays. You have a wide swath of software-defined everything, cloud, multi-cloud, right? I think one of the things that IBM does well to kind of bring that together for your channel partners and ambitious IT shops is this whole idea of solution blueprint, right? And I like that you elevate that almost at your announcements to parity with the products that you're announcing, right? So you take the idea of how to deploy a solution very seriously, right? And how important is that to your business and to your partners and ultimately to the end IT customers?
Well, we look at it again, as we said when we first started the conversation, it's all about applications, workloads, and use cases and solutions. It is not about speeds and feeds from a storage perspective, especially when you're up in the IT community, right? You're not talking to the storage guy. Sure, if we want to talk storage technical with a storage guy, we can. But a lot of these big decisions are made either by the line of business, by the CFO in a smaller company, by the CIO in a bigger company. So you got to be able to talk the language. It's all about applications, workloads, and use cases. The solutions blueprints fit right into that. The solutions blueprints allow us to take our existing arrays with our storage software that comes on the arrays and create recipes. So let's take an example. Last quarter, we announced a new solution for blockchain. And as you know, blockchain is electronic ledger. It's highly performant. It's all done electronically. It's highly resilient. So if the chain A fails, chain B takes over. So you have the full resiliency. So we made sure, since you might attach something to that chain, a PO, an engineering change order, a contract, a statement of work, a picture, a video, that all of those things can easily be easily tied back to the chain itself. So we have, with our solution blueprint, created a way to use our existing storage arrays and our existing storage software, follow the recipe, and you will be able to ensure that you have the right solution for off-chain storage connected to a highly available and highly performant blockchain solution. But we didn't create any custom software. What we did is the blueprints, which our end users can use, our business partners can use, IBM Lab Services can use, allow them to create a recipe. And think of it this way. Let's take a baking analogy. Bread, cakes, pancakes. They're different. Guess what? They all have eggs, they have milk,
right.
They all have butter or margarine. But they're all configured completely differently in completely different ways, and you get three different things. What we've done is with our storage arrays and our software-defined storage and our modern data protection technologies, we're able to take our existing things, configure them in different ways, and have a solution for modern data protection over the cloud using existing software, not creating anything separate, or like we just did with off-chain storage with blockchain. So that's where we're seeing it. It's being widely used. It is free. We don't charge for it. So the end users can get it online. Channel partners can get it online. Lab Services has access to it. So whichever way is the right way for you to deploy it, we don't charge for it. You've already bought our storage software. You've already bought our storage arrays, storage solutions, our VersaStack. All you got to do is follow those recipes, and you can take the eggs, the butter, and the margarine, and create a cake, create some bread, create some breakfast, whatever you want to do, and you can do it all with the same solutions. But then follow those recipes to customize for the workloads that you need.
And your channel partners respond to that. They love these.
Yes, because yeah. A, we don't charge. B, it allows them to offer another service, okay, which they may charge for. They may not. That's up to them. And a lot of end users aren't prepared to do this. You've got to be the most sophisticated end user to take these blueprints. They're not hard to follow,
yeah,
but you really got to know what you're doing.
Sure.
So an IBM business partner, IBM Lab Services, for a lot of companies might be the right way to go. To get these solutions deployed, and you're not buying any extra software, any extra storage system in any way, shape. You're just using what you already have.
Got it. Hey, so before we wrap up, I just want to give you an opportunity. We talked about a lot of things, right? So when we look over the next, 12 to 18 months, what's got you excited? Where's your focus when you think about, kind of the evolution of IBM storage, or even what's happening in IT that might influence how you're thinking about your next generation products?
So I think the world is all going to still revolve around applications, workloads, and use cases. I think you're going to see a huge rise in big data, AI, and analytics workloads. Hybrid cloud is here to stay. So I'm a native Californian, and you don't fight the wave, you ride the wave. So all companies, whether you're big, medium, or small, need to ride the wave. Now, one thing we have seen with bigger companies is a move towards hybrid cloud, especially for transactional workloads. When you figure out all the costs of a cloud from any vendor, big, medium, or small, it's pretty much the same. Storage is given away for free, but if you want 5 nines availability, we got to charge extra. 6 nines available, we got that. Certain SLAs for performance, you got to charge extra, and you charge for any workload on the in and out. So right now, I'd argue cloud storage today is ideal for backup and archive workloads, not such ideal for real-world transactional workloads, except for burst mode. So if you need to burst, that's one thing. But running your high-performance database, whether traditional database or a new-world NoSQL database, all over the cloud, you got to be careful about doing that. But again, with IBM, what we've done is make sure that we're completely transparent and move data back and forth to multiple cloud suppliers, to one cloud provider, to your private cloud, whatever you need to do. So we don't really care. It's all about data mobility and then making sure, however you're moving that data around, that it's done securely, which we do.
Yeah, and I think that tracks with the trends that we're seeing in IT. So that's
makes so a lot of sense. So you got big data and AI. You got the cloud going. I do think cyber resiliency is one that's just early tapped from a storage perspective.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about security companies, right? And there are startups raising money right and left. You got the bigger companies, you got IBM, you got RSA, you got Checkpoint, you got Blue Coat,
right.
You got Symantec, you got all these guys doing security technology, but they're all going to take a break-in, and all of them admit there's going to be a break-in, which is why most of those security companies that try to keep the bad guy out also have a way to track the bad guy down. They all do.
Right.
Well, guess what? Until you track the bad guy down, unless you really catch him instantaneously, he can be stealing your data blind, but not when it's encrypted. Not when you've got ransomware or malware detection capability with your storage. So those are kinds of things we think that cyber resiliency is an early market from a storage perspective, but is going to grow and grow as people realize you must have storage as a critical underpinning to a truly cyber resilient strategy for your enterprise. And those are the big trends we see.
Makes a lot of sense. Hey, thanks for taking the time today, Eric.
Oh, thank you.
So as you heard, it was a good conversation with Eric. He's certainly excited about his business and his prospects. And it sounds like there's some things coming up second half. What I really like, I don't say I really like this, what we're seeing consistently across all the OEMs, storage and server, is the up-leveling of the message, right? Eric talks at IBM a lot about, and he said this over and over, it's applications, workloads, and use cases. That's what we target. Applications, yeah. Workloads, and use cases.
Yeah.
And Dell has edge to core to cloud.
Yeah.
And, so,
you know, it's Steve, it's more of the, for IT, it's more going back to the, we're not focusing on the technology. We're focusing on the outcomes we're enabling. Right. And that's it. And you're right. You hear it across every major OEM right now. I think IBM does particularly good story on the storage side, in general as well, but mm-hmm. especially on the storage side, they do a great job of kind of with that up level, as you call it. But it's what folks want to hear. They don't want to get down to bits and bytes as much anymore.
Well, and it's harder to get down to bits and bytes. The world, you know, we talk about multi-cloud all the time, but you know, if you distill it all down, IT is now all about software defined everything.
Yep.
So I don't want to say the bits and bytes don't matter, because they very much do, but it's more, where do the bits and bytes fit right into the whole? And that's where this, I think, more, again, I'm saying up level, maybe more solution focused message, I think, resonates with IT.
Yes.
That's good. Anyway, I'm watching my teletype ticker here. There's all sorts of earnings coming in. So, maybe we'll do another podcast later this week where we talk about what Dell and VMware announced. It looks like their earnings are interesting.
Yeah.
And Nutanix is coming in right here. It looks like they're a little down. And then on the floor here, I'm seeing some news from earlier in the week from Computex. So we have a lot to talk about. So maybe we'll double up this week and do a news roundup. Computex and earnings, because there was some cool stuff at Computex I want to talk about.
Yeah, let's do that. I think the earnings in particular, it's like we talked about with HPE a couple of weeks ago or last week. There's more to meet the eye than just kind of the top level numbers you see. Be good to double click on all three of those companies and this, the news out of Computex and what it really kind of means for IT. It'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there was a lot of chip news, which I know excites you. So.
Yes.
All right. Well, you got a busy weekend. Go graduate.
My child.
Go graduate your child and tell him I said congratulations.
I will do that. I will do that. And you have a great weekend, my friend.
I'll do what I can. I'm off to another softball tournament.
Have fun, buddy.